doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Drake DeMore. Thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local radio sports program and podcast. Our radio show airs every Thursday live at 12:30 p.m. on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. New episodes of the podcast featuring raw, uncut interviews with athletes and coaches drop right after the radio program airs every Thursday at 1 p.m. anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and iTunes, and on WindCitySports.com. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll talk all about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. Today is Thursday, January 31st, 2019, and it is episode 130 of Wind City Sports. Crazy to think the first month of 2019 is already over. We're going to keep it rolling here on Wind City Sports with our awesome guest. This week on Wind City Sports, we're doing a dual shot of interviews. First off, you're going to hear from Windsor's own track all-star. She spent time with the University of Miami, but is now representing the Windsor Lancers in the track and field discipline. It's Kelsey Bockwell. Following that interview, we're going to talk to former Windsor Spitfire and a pro hockey player out in South Carolina right now playing for the Swamp Rapids of the ECHL. It's Austin Broussard. First, we'll hear from Miss Kelsey Bockwell. She'll be talking about her entire track career, competing around the world in many different countries and in many different events, and as well as what she might have planned for the future, including the 2020 Summer Olympics. Then we'll hear from Austin Broussard, who talks about playing for the Spitfires for just a short period of time. I think he only played 18, maybe 20 games here in Windsor before being traded. But he talks all about that. He talks about playing pro, and he talks about some other hobbies and talents that he might have musically. And normally right now would be the time that we talk about our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week via golancers.ca. But for some reason, they don't have any Athletes of the Week up on their website right now, at least as recording this podcast. And they may be released by the time this airs. It will be Thursday, though, so I'm kind of doubting it. But we will skip that and go right into the interviews, kicking things off with Kelsey Bockwell. So here we go.
On the phone now, we have an NCAA All-American, a U-Sport All-Canadian, a silver medalist from the Pan Am American Junior Championships, and a finalist from the World Junior Championships in Athletics, Kelsey Bockwell. Welcome to Wind City Sports.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to get started a little bit about, you know, getting into the sport of track and field. Were you always involved in track and cross country and stuff like that in school or what?
So actually I played basketball more than I did track when I was younger. I played AAU basketball in the States.
Oh.
And then when I had to make a decision, I was doing track and basketball at the same time, and then I just had to come to the decision, the age that I had to make a decision, so I chose track.
How was that decision kind of made? Just kind of seeing more opportunity or?
No, actually I was getting a little frustrated with basketball because I try 100% all the time. And so I just needed an individual support or sport where I could just focus on me and then I would get the same amount out as much as I put in.
Oh, okay, absolutely. I mean, I figured you were in other sports. I was going to ask about that too. But it's just a unique kind of thing, you know, because obviously it's a fundamental in any sport. When did you start to compete more seriously? Was there ever like, okay, I can start doing some serious competition, or were people guiding you in that direction?
So when I was in elementary school, I had really, really good coaches. Frank Mazzara, unfortunately, he passed away now, but he basically was the start of why I started to love track. He was so passionate about it when I was younger, and he told me that I needed to join club track. So that's when I started doing track kind of competitively, not really. When I really, really got into track, I would say was my grade 12 year. My coach now, Kurt Downs, he contacted me in the fall and asked me to come out twice or three times a week, and that was it, just to see if I liked it, to get my feet back wet, because I was coming off of some injuries. And then when I did that, I just fell in love more and more with the sport again.
Interesting. It seems like that's kind of common, where it just kind of takes over later on in your life rather than, you know, building yourself to be a track and field athlete. So let's kind of go through your career, because obviously you were doing meets and stuff in high school, like you said, but what college did you go to first?
So I had offers when I ran World Juniors when I was in high school, and I was successful there. So I started getting offers then. So I traveled a bit. I went on a couple visits, but then I ended up going to the University of Miami. They had three hurdlers in the NCAA final. So once I saw that, I was like, I need to go to the school. I need to go where all these people are successful. So I ended up going out there.
Yeah, you kind of seen the history of the school, I'm sure, and of the track system.
Exactly. And it's Miami, so it's hot all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm kind of a hurdler. I need to be able to hurdle all year round. So, yeah, I moved out there. It was great.
Yeah, that was probably a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Track-wise, I struggled a little bit with injuries, but once we kind of figured it out, my last year, I was successful.
Yeah, for sure. And then during that time is when you were in the Pan Am Games and stuff like that. Were those, like, really big events for you at the time?
I actually was in the Pan Am Games before I went to university. It was I went back for a grade 13 year because I didn't know where I wanted to go to school. But yeah, I think that World Juniors was a little bit bigger for me just because it was my first year doing Canadian trials, actually. And then it was my first year actually making a team. So I think it was just a whirlwind, like, wow, I'm actually kind of good at this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be running in a circle.
See, that's what I mean. Like, I don't understand. Not that I don't understand, but everyone has a different story, right? To get to that point, like how do you get so passionate about the sport of track and field that you want to and are able to compete at such a high level?
For me, I just had a very supportive group, whether it was in elementary school and most people kept supporting me, or in high school and my family. They were just very, very supportive. And then when you have that support system and then you get a coach that is as passionate as my coach is, his name is Kurt Downs, as passionate as he is, it kind of just all falls into place and you just realize that there's so much more that you can do that you weren't really aware of what you could do. When I was younger, I never really know, like, yeah, you think of the Olympics and as your kid, you know, and you watch the Olympics, but all those other stages, you didn't really know that was there until they're brought to you. Like, yeah, you can possibly do this if you wanted to.
Yeah, there's a lot out there, because that actually kind of leads into where I was going to next, because you competed all around the world. Just looking at your profile, see like the Bahamas, Taiwan, England, to name a few. What kind of stands out to you when you look back at all the different competitions and where you've been?
You know, it's crazy, because when I first started this, part of the reason why I wanted to do track was so that I could travel. Doing track literally allows me to travel around the world. And before that, I had never really traveled very far except for basketball tournaments or track meets locally. And so I think that just going to those far places, like, it just opens your mind up so much to other cultures. And it's honestly, it's amazing. I love going to Europe, and I love spending all summer over there as much as I can. I want to be over there because it's just a different culture, and it's very incredible.
Oh, absolutely. You're being able to see the world, right?
Yeah, and the competition level is just so much greater, and the fans are so good out there. Everyone loves track. There's little tracks. Anywhere you look, you can find a little track, and it can be a Wednesday night and the entire stands will be packed and people are drinking beer and eating food. And it's like a hockey game or a basketball game or an NFL game, something like that, but with track.
That's cool. Like, that's what everyone always says that I've had on the show. I've had a couple of track people on with Brandon McBride and Nick Falk, Noel Malcolm, and they all say the same thing. But that's something that I'm interested in. I wanted to ask you what your kind of experiences were like seeing the track events outside of Canada.
Yeah, I think that in Canada, going through the high school system, there's obviously a lot of parents that come out and support, and family and friends and all that stuff. And then when you go to the NCAA system, it's a little bit bigger at all the meets. So you're kind of, and the competition is even a little bit better too. So you start to get a little bit more competitive, and then just that environment, you know, you get a little bit more excited to go because you're racing in front of more people. And then you go to Europe or you make a world team or et cetera, and it's just even larger and larger and larger. And it's just, it's so much more exciting when you're performing in front of 50,000 people instead of 500 people.
It's the atmosphere that really makes it, right?
Exactly. Like when you're doing the 400, the 800, the four hurdles, and you're running that last 100 meters and you feel like you're not going anywhere because you have so much lactic in your legs, and then you hear the crowd roaring, cheering for you. It's just a different type of feeling and adrenaline that takes you to the finish line.
Yeah, I'm sure once you experience that, it's a whole nother story, right? It's something that you kind of strive for.
Exactly. And then even more so when you get that PB or you win the race and then the crowd erupts and then you just have that even more excitement that, wow, I just did that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be a cool experience for you. But I want to kind of catch up now what you're doing now. Now, you're, if I'm not mistaken, you're part of the Lancers track and field team, right?
No, I'm not actually. I ran last year? Last year, but not this year.
Okay. So are you done with school now or?
No, I'm still in my master's. I'm finishing my thesis right now. This year, I just wanted to be able to focus on me running track. Worlds is so late this year that I needed to focus on putting myself in the best situation.
Yeah, okay. See, I was trying to find like your profiles on goalanswers.ca and all that stuff, and they all kind of say different things. Some say you're an HK, some say that you're a graduate student on the team and stuff, so I just kind of wanted to clear that up.
Yeah, so I am a graduate student, an HK. I'm getting my master's in sport science and sport psychology
with
Kevin Hill, who is amazing. He is the best advisor that I could have. He's very supportive of everything I want to do in school and on the track. He does all of my sports testing, actually, in the phys lab. So we're a really good pair. And, so then I'm doing that and just running track with Border City.
That's cool. I want to talk about Border City Athletics as well, but I too have a sport management background, so always kind of interesting to hear these kind of things and talk to people in the same field. I know you said you have your sights set on, you know, focusing on track and stuff like that, but are you maybe open to the possibility of relating and reflecting?
Sorry, it cut out again. I couldn't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Could you possibly reflect and relate your career to your track experience, given all of the knowledge you have learned from actually competing?
So when I was in university in Miami, like I said, I had injuries. So that made me, and I was in my undergrad for psychology, but that just really pushed me into knowing the psychological side of track and field and just sport in general and how to deal with those tough situations, deal with depression, deal with anxiety, and deal with all of that in myself. And then when I started to look around and see my teammates feeling the same way I'm feeling and not really knowing how to navigate through that, and then you put injury on top of it, it just kind of piles up and piles up. And sometimes there's not a system or a person that you feel like you can talk to get over those difficulties. So that sparked my interest in sports psychology. And then when I was in school, and again, I was injured, I was going through all these things, trying to get healthy again. And so that's where all the sports science stuff came in, all the endocrinology, all the hormones, all the bone density, all that stuff. I was trying to dive in more so that I could make myself healthy so that I could run.
Wow. That's pretty cool though to hear. You know, some people like to keep their career and their athletics separate, but I always like when it kind of relates and translates.
Yeah, I think it makes it easier for me just because I'm so passionate about it and being in the field. And like I said, I'm even with Border City, like when I coach, I see the same things that I grew up with. And I just feel like that's how I can make the biggest impact in like young people's lives is using what I've learned from track and then what I've learned just from life and helping them so they don't have to go through the same situations that I've ever had to go through that were difficult.
That's very cool. Let's talk about Border City AC. What do they kind of do and what are you doing with them?
So I've been coaching with Border City since they started. I was actually in university when we started, but when I would come home in the summer, I would coach with them. So basically we're a regular club. We focus on speed, power. We do have distance, mid-distance now and jumps. We've grown a lot. We've only been for four and a half years created. We really, really believe in that family group. We support each other. Border City, even though I coach for them, I also run for them. But they've been very supportive of me traveling, helping me get to meets and all those things. We're just really more focused on the team and developing as athletes and people and young people, and basically just making it so these kids can have the best situation, whether they want to go to Canada to run track, if they want to go to the States to run track, or even any sport. We do all speed power, so soccer players are the same way, football players. Just like you said, you had Jacob Robson on. We coach him as well when he comes home for his speed power, and anything that he needs, we're there for him. So we just really promote basically healthy living with young people.
That's cool. That's awesome. And anyone that is kind of looking to train with you guys can kind of get involved, or is there any prerequisites or anything?
Yeah, no, you just have to either come to the track, we're there on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, or just email coaches@bordercity.com and we'll reply back to you. And yeah, everyone is welcome. There's no age range, really. We have elementary school program all the way up to high school and then obviously beyond.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about yourself in regards to competition before we wrap it up. You had mentioned that Worlds is at the end of the year later on. So are you working towards that, or is there anything else in between?
Yeah, so I decided this year, well, my coach and I decided this year that I wasn't going to run indoors and I was just going to focus on outdoors, which is something new for me. But I'm pretty excited about it, actually. I don't really love running indoors. But so the first thing that we'll try to do is World Relays. World Relays is in Japan. I believe it's in April, maybe the beginning of May. And then there will be Canadian Trials. And then there's actually Pan American Games this year as well. And then Worlds at the end of the summer.
Awesome. You get to see Japan if you haven't been there then.
Exactly. I saw Taiwan, and I was going to after I was done that to fly over. But it was just a long summer. I was like, yeah, I just need to get home. But I'm excited.
For sure. Japan would be a great country to visit, though.
Exactly. I agree. I'm excited.
Awesome. And of course, you know, we're just a year away from the 2020 Olympics. Is that something you have your eyes set on, or is it just kind of day to day, see what happens?
You know, that's the ultimate goal, I feel like, with every athlete, not even just track and field, every athlete, that's like the ultimate goal. But I am a very day to day journey type of person. If my day-to-day is going well, then I don't really worry about the future because I know it'll happen if I'm doing what I need to do today.
Absolutely. That's a great mentality to have. Pretty well. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It was good talking to you.
Okay, everybody. Drake DeMore here back on Win City Sports. That was our first part of our two parts of our interviews this week here on the podcast. Not what we normally do, but always good to change it up sometimes, you know. Kelsey Bockwell is such an outstanding athlete. I've heard her name and seen her name on the news and in the Windsor Star and countless outlets in the last couple of years, especially in doing Win City Sports, which is why I always wanted to have her on. Someone that I always thought of, was never able to reach out to. Finally, we connected on Instagram and I was able to give her a shout there and get her on the show. So much that she's done. I want to go through some of her accolades, some of which we talked about, like the actual events, excuse me, stuff like that. But she's actually a Leamington native, went to Essex District High School in Essex. She, as mentioned, she was in the NCAA All-American Championships, U Sport All-Canadian, silver medalist at Pan Am Juniors, and a finalist in the 2010 World Junior Championships in Athletics. Surprised she wasn't in the, I guess it would be 2016 Olympics, along with Brandon McBride. I think Corey Belmore was there too, and definitely Noelle Malcolm. Those two, at least two of the three were there. And I'm surprised that Kelsey wasn't there with them, and I'll be pretty shocked if she isn't this next summer, I guess, actually. Some other personal best is a 400 meter indoor back in just last year in Fayetteville in 2018 at 52.64, I guess that'd be seconds. Prior to that in the year, she had a record of 53.14. Or actually, that would be outdoor. Okay, well, this is very informational for everyone. So two records in both indoor and outdoor 400 meters, a 400 meter hurdles at 56.64 3.34 seconds, also in 2018. And again in 2018, she was part of the 400 meter relay with a time of 3 minutes and 29 seconds. In world finals, she's came in 6th in the 2010 World Juniors and 19th in the 2018 World Indoor Championships in Athletics. And I'm sure that's just the beginning for her. There's probably so much more to come. Now I want to talk a little bit about our next guest that's going to be coming on here in a few moments on Wind City Sports. Austin Broussard is a guy who's my age, one of my buddies from high school. Evan Macrick had played hockey with him. Evan was a junior B player too, actually. Was good buddies with him. That's how we kind of knew who Austin was around the St. Joe's scene back in the day in high school. And, I didn't know him at all. I didn't know Austin at all, but everyone thought that he was going to go pro, and he did go pro, but you know, everyone thought he was going to be NHL standout, and he was just a phenomenal hockey player. I can't remember if I was ever on the ice with him, but you can see the difference of being on the ice now, and especially back then with junior players, junior B and C players, and even junior A, of course, or shouldn't say even junior A, but especially junior A. He was always known as a great hockey player around the city. He's on the list of notable alumni from Windsor Minor Hockey. My name should be on there, not a big deal. But he's always been a pretty big deal in the hockey community here. So I thought, you know, let's find out what he's doing now. And I ended up finding him playing in the Eckel in the ECHL, East Coast League. I found it interesting that back when we were 15, 16 years old, I didn't even realize that he had played those games for Windsor back then. And he played with Taylor Hall and Ryan Ellis and all these guys, as he talks about in the interview. So I think it's about time. I've rambled enough. Let's jump into the next interview with pro hockey player Austin Broussard. Here we go.
Even though it was short-lived, former Windsor Spitfire, fifth-round draft pick in 2011 to the Winnipeg Jets, and a current Greenville Swamp Rabbit. Austin Broussard, thanks for joining me and joining the Wind City Sports Podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
No problem, man. So, like I said, you're a former Spit kid from Windsor, gets drafted to his hometown team. What was it like playing for the Spits back then, 2009, 10, yet alone? That was a great year for them, obviously.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, get drafted to your hometown, get to stay home was awesome, especially with an organization like that. And it was cool. You know, we had a lot of big-name guys, Henry, Hall, Ellis, got to play with those guys, and then I was only there for, you know, 3-4 months and then went to Belleville, but I really enjoyed my time while I was there.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, you went to Spitz games growing up and stuff, right? I'm sure, like, every kid wants to play for their hometown team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was, I grew up always going to the games, and, it was a real honor and privilege to be able to do that. It was really cool.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you said, you got to play with Hall and Henrique and all those guys that kind of made it big, and even guys that didn't but had big impacts here in Windsor, like, you know, Dale Mitchell, Justin Shug, and guys like that. I'm sure it was cool to play with them too, eh?
Yeah, it was. All really great guys and great players. And, yeah, for, you know, a rookie just getting in the league, not really knowing what to expect, to get to play with a bunch of guys of that caliber and see what it's about was really cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, you don't know where these guys were going to end up, obviously, at the time, but just yet alone, they were just doing their thing in the O, and I'm sure it was really cool to just jump onto that squad and step around the ice. Was it kind of nerve-wracking to you at all, or, like, were they really cool to you? Learn a lot of stuff from them?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some nerves coming in. You know, I didn't know, like, a whole lot about what to expect. I just, you know, grew up watching it, and watching the O, so it was a little nerve-wracking, but you know, everyone was really cool, and you know, I learned a lot, so it was definitely a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was a short time. I think you played, according to your hockey DB here, you played 18 games for the Spits before being sent over to Belleville, where you spent the rest of your junior career. I'm sure that time really stood out to you too. Was do you always look back on your time in Belleville as good times or what?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good spot. Had a lot of good memories. Played with some good players. We first couple of years we were, you know, lower in the league. We were kind of rebuilding, and last year I was there. We had a decent playoff run and had a good team. So it was it was fun to, you know, go through the process of watching a team get built like that and then ended up with a good team.
Absolutely. And did you cross paths with any Spits or any Windsor boys while you were out there?
I think we played them the first year I was there, and then again a couple times the second year. So just saw them around, but just playing against them, nothing mm-hmm. too crazy.
And I'm trying to remember the trade, like who was involved in that. I think it was us getting a couple guys that ended up sticking around for a little bit, or at least that were on the squad when they won the second Memorial Cup.
Yeah. Who'd they get? They got Johnston, Grubauer, the goalie.
Oh, okay. That's who I was thinking of.
Great, yeah. And then Canton, too, another D-man, I think.
See, all those guys, even like Canton, like he was a big presence here, and then not to put him down or anything, not that he didn't go anywhere, but just so many people on that team, just so many people that are very memorable to Spitfire fans.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That was kind of a bit of a legacy, I guess you could call it, mm-hmm. for them, for sure.
Yeah, looking back on it now, it's been 10 years now. It's crazy to say, but tell me the story about getting drafted to the Jets. How did you get the call? How did that go down?
On draft day, I was out, went fishing with my dad and some buddies. So I was out on the lake, catching some fish and some rays, hanging out, and got the call from my agent and said I was going to Winnipeg. And so I was super excited. It was their first year back in the league, their first draft. So that was cool to be a part of, and stay in Canada was sweet as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty rare, or not rare, but I mean, the odds to be drafted, signed, selected, whatever, by a Canadian team in the NHL, it's slim to none. There's seven teams out of 31, so I'm sure that was a big beneficial to you.
Yeah, it was, and especially their first year back too was cool. So to stay, play for a Canadian team, especially one that an organization that's just coming back, was it was pretty neat.
For sure. What were you doing fishing on draft day? Were you just trying to get it off your mind a little bit and just have some fun, or what?
Yeah, just have some fun. I didn't really want to just sit around. I thought it'd be cool to get out on the boat and just get the call out there, catch some fish, being on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up fishing a lot, so it's kind of, go back to your roots a bit or whatever and just be on the lake, get the call. So it's pretty.
But it's the fifth round, so that's the second day, right? So you knew that you had already had missed the first round or two, so you decided, it'll happen when it happens, and we'll just wait until then?
Yeah, exactly. It was, and, had I been, scouted to go in the first round, maybe would have headed down there, but, going the second day, didn't know exactly when, so wasn't just going to sit around and look at the computer. Sure, just guessing.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little bit of a different time by then, too. We didn't all have, Twitter and Wi-Fi and data everywhere, especially on the boat out there. So you're probably on the laptop or whatever, right?
Yeah, none of that. Just lucky to have service, actually.
Yeah, for real. That's from then, you ended up making the jump over to the AHL, of course, and after being drafted and finishing up junior. Was there a big transition between junior and the minors, or was it just kind of same thing, just faster pace, bigger guys, older men, really? How was the transition there?
It was a big jump, for sure. The pro game is a lot more, X's and O's, there's things that are expected of you and a way that you got to play and just mistakes. You got to limit your mistakes and, play within the system. So it was definitely a big jump and a different style of play for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it took a little adjusting, but I mean, you've been there and between there and the East Coast League for a couple of years now. So you feel like you're used to it now. You understand the league and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. It took me a couple of years to figure it out, but yeah, it's my sixth year pro now, so I like to think I understand the game pretty well and,
oh yeah,
you know, no one's expected of you at this level.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the game's the game, right? Just everywhere you go, there's just those little different things, I would assume. And I remember seeing an article on you, actually, when I was getting ready to do this, that I forget where you were, in, I think in the East Coast, and you're talking about you're still hopeful to get a shot at the NHL. I mean, why not, right? I'm sure, are you still pushing for that? That's the main goal, and just play pro hockey as long as you can?
Yeah, really just keep playing as long as I can. You know, I worked a little construction this summer, and it'll make you appreciate the game more.
Oh, for
so,
sure.
Yeah, obviously, like, getting to the NHL is always the goal, but if not, just look at other options, maybe go to Europe and just, yeah, play as long as you can.
That's what I was going to ask, if you had any aspiration to go out there. I mean, a lot of guys do it from, rather they be pro or, you know, go from college level or whatever it might be. Have you seen any of your buddies or anything go out there and think like, hey, maybe I can get used to that too?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a lot of you know, guys I've played with who have been over there, some teammates this year, a couple buddies back home are over in France as well. So yeah, I've heard about it. You know, there's different places that are good and maybe some that aren't so good. So it's definitely an option, but it's something I'll look into in the future, see what happens.
Absolutely. Like I said, like a lot of guys are out there. So as long as they don't fill up on the imports or the foreign players, you might have a spot on a team. I know I've talked to a lot of guys, like Mark Andari was like recruited by Shug, actually, I think it was Timmins. Brought him out there because, you know, one of his buddies is playing. So it's those connections can make a big difference too.
Yeah, for sure. It's all who you know. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it plays a big role for sure.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever think about like coaching or anything else, like maybe a different kind of role in hockey if it comes down to it?
Yeah, I've thought about it. That's, you know, obviously some years in the future. So, you know, I would consider it. Obviously nothing serious now because it's down the road. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, I got a little boy now, too. He's 10 months. So just a newbie. So, you know, maybe once he starts playing and I'm done, maybe coach him a bit. We'll see. I've thought about it. And,
yeah.
Cross that path when we get to it.
Yeah, well, congratulations, man. I didn't know that. But, of course, you're just focusing on what you're doing now, right? But I don't know if maybe that was an option. Do you do anything like camps in the summer or anything?
No, not too much. Just, yeah, hang out.
Yeah, stay a little sharp for in the off season and just enjoy it, right?
Yeah, it's nice to get a break from it too. Like, play a lot of games, a lot of hockey, so it's nice in the summer to just, you know, let your mind rest and just get away from the game for a bit.
Yeah, and do some fishing or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Golfing.
Yeah, you like golf too? Well, who else do you know that's from here that is playing out in France and stuff like that?
Dylan Dennamy is out there and Scott Pryor. But he's growing up. And a couple other guys, Bustio is out there. And I don't know, I'm probably forgetting some guys.
Yeah.
But.
Do you know Banga? Do you know Sammy Banga?
Yeah, is he out there too?
Yeah, I think he went. I had him on a while ago, like maybe a year or two ago. He went out to, I want to say, Germany. He's been there for this would be his second season. That just shows the transition, right? And that you're able to do that stuff.
Yeah, true.
Yep. Are you currently signed to any contract at all, or?
Just under contract with Greenville right now.
Okay, I didn't know how far your contract had went. Or if you would you sign to the Jets at all or no?
Yeah, I signed my entry level, so I was on a 3-year deal, and then that ran out. They elected not to re-sign me, so you know, we parted ways, and everyone to Utah and San Diego, Toledo last year, and then in Greenville this year.
Mm-hmm. Show your worth, right? But something interesting I found online, again, when I was prepping to do this, was another article from, I think it was from a few years ago, showcasing your musical talents. I find, like, now that I've been doing these interviews, I'm finding a lot of athletes live like separate lives. A lot of them are musicians too. Is this something you just do for fun, or what? And what instruments do you play?
Yeah, just for fun. Basically just guitar. I started, my parents had me in piano when I was young, and then I kind of got sick of that. So they wanted to keep me in music, so I elected to go the guitar route, and I fell in love with it. It was like all I would do for hours at a time for like a few years. So got pretty good, and yeah, it's just something to do like on my own. I'm not trying to like start a band or anything. It's just fun to pick it up sometimes and play a couple tunes, jam out, whatever.
Yeah, well, that was my next question, if there was going to be a Swamp Rabbits band, if any of the other guys had any musical talents or anything.
Yeah, one of the guys, our goalie Bartis, he likes the guitar. We were just jamming the other day, actually.
That's cool.
So we strum. We got another guy, Folks, who plays drums. So we were talking about maybe we'll go to a studio or something.
Oh, that's pretty
drum kit. Drum kit going. So yeah, we'll see. A couple little jams here and there.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Again, it could just be another team bonding thing, or it could be something you just do to kind of wind down, like you said, like fishing and golfing and stuff.
Yeah, just to get your mind off the game, you know, get away from it, and just do something you enjoy, and you know, chill for a bit.
Absolutely, man. Well, thank you for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, you too, man.
Peace.
And that is it, our second interview for this episode of Wind City Sports with pro hockey player right now in the ECHL, ECHL, Austin Brassard. So thank you to Austin for joining me on the phone. That was actually back late 2018 that we spoke, so I'm happy to finally get that one out. And also, again, thank you to Kelsey Bockwell of the Windsor Lancers track and field squad, and of course of Border City Athletics Club, as we talked about also. Thank you to Kelsey and to Austin for taking the time to chat with me, and I really liked having him on. But now, without further ado, we're going to break down some local sports news to wrap up this episode of Wind City Sports. We're going to kick things off with our Windsor Express basketball team, who made it to 8 wins in the team's last 9 games with a 107-103 road win over the Cape Breton Highlanders in the NBL of Canada action on Sunday. Their 6-game winning streak came to an end on Friday in Halifax. But on Sunday, Chris Jones hit a pair of three throws with 9 seconds left to snap a 103-103 tie and vault the Windsor Express to its 4th road win in the last 5 games. It's crazy and it's awesome to see them do this considering the start that they had. We talked to Ryan Anderson back at the beginning of the season where they were struggling. And then again with DeAndre Thomas more recently. I was on the show a couple weeks ago, but I talked to him at the end of 2018 also when they were just starting to turn things around, and I'm glad to see that they've actually done what they've set out to do, and now they're starting to, not starting, they've just been winning everything left and right pretty much, winning 8 out of the last 9 games. Juan Patillo led the Express with 22 points, while Ryan Anderson added 20 points and 16 rebounds. DeAndre Thomas finished with 19 points, Terrell Tate added 18, and Jones finished with 12 points off the bench against the Highlanders. And they've had a nice break since then, and they will return to the court when they travel to Kitchener-Waterloo on Sunday to take on the Titans at 2 p.m. Keeping the basketball news rolling, the University of Windsor Lancers women's basketball team stretched its OUA winning streak to 5 games with an 85-70 win over the Guelph Griffins on Saturday at the St. Denis Center. The men have lost back-to-back games after falling 84-71 to the Griffins. In the women's game, the Lancers got a high 18 points from Kaya Clark. Samantha Gucciardi finished with 17 points against the Griffins, with Olivia Osamusali adding 15 points and Tyra Blizzard adding 10 points. In the men's game, the Lancers were led by Lucas Arlita, a past guest here on Wind City Sports, not a big deal. He had a 15-point effort. Owen Henderson added 13 points against Guelph, while freshman Thomas Kennedy added 11 points and 13 rebounds, and Chris Poloniato, last week's Athlete of the Week, chipped in with 11 points. Tomorrow, both teams will be in Guelph, taking on the Brock Badgers. The Lancers track and field team picked up 5 medals, including a pair of gold medals at the Eastern Michigan University Can-Am Internationals meet on Saturday in Michigan. Someone help me out with this. YPSILANTI? I'm not even sure how to pronounce that. I was going to try here for you guys, but do you pronounce the Y, the P, or is it Solanti? Anyway, somewhere in Michigan, they were at this event. Nicholas D'Alessandro won the men's 1,000 meters in a time of 2 minutes and 27.94 seconds, with teammate Cole Hanum finishing third in 2 minutes and 28 seconds. Mitchell Patterson captured the men's 1,600 meters in 1 minute and 20 seconds, with Christy Hodgins finishing second in the women's 300 meters in 40.42, and Andrew Nebel placed second in the men's 3,000 meters in 8 minutes and 26 seconds. Some very impressive feats in all those accomplishments. So again, our Lancers team is just killing it as always, always racking in a lot of gold and silver. Maybe I should say silver and gold. In hockey news, the men's hockey team is coming off a 5-1 loss to the Ryerson Rams. The women suffered losses to the Voyagers and the Nipissing Lakers this weekend. Tomorrow, the men welcome York University to the South Windsor Arena at 7:30 p.m. The women will take on York on Saturday at South Windsor Arena and then Guelph on Sunday at 2 p.m. See goalanswers.ca for both times and ticket information on all sports mentioned and some that didn't make the cut. Some Spitz news: approaching the last 2 months of the OHL season and fighting for a playoff spot, the Spitz lost 3 straight games last weekend. 2 tough losses in a home-and-home with London, kind of given on Thursday and Friday. Then a close 4-3 loss to Niagara on Sunday afternoon at home. They'll be hungry for a win tonight as they travel to North Bay, no home game on this Thursday. They continue on the road from there, traveling to Sudbury tomorrow, and then Owen Sound on Sunday. All games can be seen on Cable 11, though. They return to the WFCU Center next Thursday when they welcome the Saginaw Spirit. In other Spitz news, former Windsor Spitfire defenseman Todd Gill was fired as head coach of the OHL's Owen Sound Attack on Monday. Gill played for the Spitfires from 1982 to 85 and played over 1,000 NHL games and was in his second season with the Attack. Former guest of the show and Windsor's own Jacob Robson, he is actually a Detroit Tigers prospect and draft pick. He and Evan Rutke from Windsor want to help Canada keep the streak alive. Canada has won back-to-back Pan Am games in men's baseball championships. But to get a shot at a third straight title, they must be one of the top 4 teams at a qualifier, which began actually on Tuesday in Brazil. Canada opened play on Tuesday against Panama before facing Venezuela yesterday in completing pool play against Colombia today. You can listen to Jacob's interview in the archive just from late 2018. That's episode 123 of Wind City Sports. One of my favorites of the year, and great guy and a great chat. So check that one out. Another great event of promoting the sport of jiu-jitsu, boxing, and kickboxing went down at the Tecumseh Legion on Sunday, run by MTC Windsor. Martial artists from Windsor, Detroit, and beyond gather to test and showcase their skills. You can check out on our YouTube page right now, we have a full kickboxing fight featuring Windsor's and Central MMA's own Richard Veenstra. He's also a former Lancers football player, defensive back. There will be another official MMA-sanctioned event going on at Central Park Athletics in early March. More details to follow on that very soon. So it looks like that's going to be all for this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and we are here on the podcast every Thursday. New episodes now drop at 1 p.m. following our radio program on CJAM 99.1 FM. 12:30 is our new time slot. Every week we feature interviews with athletes, coaches, and much more from individuals in the city or people that have spent time in the city. You can hear every single episode of Wind City Sports on windcitysports.com or wherever podcasts are found, including iTunes and now Spotify. Search us up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be, so you can keep up to date with the program, upcoming guests, news announcements, and just some cool stuff. that I like to post on our Instagram. We'll be back here on the podcast and on the radio show next week. So until then, smell you later.